Dirt and Sprague continues.
I think I'm becoming lactose intolerant. Is that possible?
It's breakfast time with Dirt and Sprague.
Dude, I could choke down six of those easily.
Dirt and Sprague.
Eggs, breakfast, and go whoop ass.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here. Portland sports leader, 1080 The Fan. 105.1 FM, The Fan. The Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody.
Get the f*** out of here.
No, I'm just kidding. Stick around. We got a lot to get to in this hour of the show. Something that I observed last night that we have not talked about yet that I'd like to ask about. That is on the horizon. Did anybody watch the FCS National Championship game last night?
Did not.
Did not?
I did not.
I watched the Knicks-Pistons all the way
that
through.
That ended up being a blowout,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah, I know.
You guys were texting about that. I missed the first half. Then I looked up the score at like third quarter. And I'm like, oh, they're up by 20. This game's over.
Yeah, I watched that. I watched a little bit of the NBA TV stuff just to kind of peruse around. Saw the Hornets blow out the OKC Thunder and shocker. And then I watched the Blazer game and had basketball practice.
It was a fun little football game. I didn't even know it was on. I'm like perusing. I'm like, hey, look at that football. I watched a little football. And a resume booster for the Ducks, Montana State, won the national championship.
Yeah, that should have been our coach.
Could have been your guy.
We were going to get that guy a vegan.
But you wouldn't have had him until now because he wanted to finish his run. He would have been in Corvallis today. You wouldn't have had all those walls to run through for Shepard.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm totally cool and in on Shepard, too, but that was our other candidate, and he won the national championship.
I will, if you're wondering of a new creative, heartbreaking way to lose a national championship game, it was on display last night. Now, I don't know much about Illinois State and their history, and if they've won a bunch of those or if they've never won one, I don't know.
Usually, isn't it, like the Montanas and South Dakotas winning all those?
I think so.
And they finished, like, fourth or fifth in their conference?
The Illinois State did.
So that was a shocking...
So they were kind of an upset bit. So it felt like they were the underdog the way they were talking
story,
about.
At least this year, and they're not... I don't believe they've had any sort of major football history recently.
So they got all the way down into field goal range to win the game in regulation, and Montana State blocked the field goals. A low snap, kind of flubbed a little bit, delayed the process, and the field goal gets blocked. Montana State almost had a chance to win it in regulation, but then they peed down their leg and snapped it by the quarterback when he wasn't paying attention on third down. In overtime, Illinois State got the ball first, scored on their opening drive. Remember what I just told you what happened on their last drive of regulation? They go to kick the PAT. PAT's blocked.
Oof.
Montana State gets the ball, scores a touchdown on a 4th and 10 from the 10-yard line. Our guy Taco Dowler, who I remember talking about the week of that game, scored the game-winning touchdown. All they had to do was a walk-off PAT, 35-34.
Yeah, since 2011, North Dakota State has won 9 national championships. South Dakota State has won 2 of them.
And damn Dakotas.
James Madison.
Yeah, before they made
JMU
the jump.
In there. Yeah. Montana State.
Yeah, it's the same, like, 3 teams. Yeah.
If you were a fan of a team at that level, would you want them to stay at that level or go the James Madison route? Because James Madison has shown that you can do it.
Yeah, but how confident are you in the ability of the talent to move up and compete?
Because
James
time.
Madison's a one-off.
I think it has to do. And also, if you're going to go then
I'd love to see
the
Montana
D1
jump.
Level, do you have some boosters that are going to play the NIL
game? Well, like, how's it going for App State? That was a fun FCS story, right? And then they made a boost and they had a little bit of
success. That's true. Not great.
Gone well. I think, didn't Kennesaw State make a leap?
They just
up?
Made the jump. There's been enough. Like, Missouri State was one of them that jumped. There's been a handful
of them. It's hard to be. Yeah.
Like,
that's what makes James Madison
Montana
unique.
State, like, if they went up, do they become Washington State and Oregon State? Or.
So I think I just stay. I stay winning.
Enjoy the world you're living in.
Unless I knew I had resources that were going to get dumped into facilities and NIL that was going to allow us to compete. I would really enjoy that level of football. I am wondering when we're going to start seeing some teams go back now.
Oh, go the other way.
Well, their playoff format's right.
It's perfect. It's a 34-team format.
It always has been. Yeah. I've always watched it from afar and gone, why are they not doing
why
that?
Can't
this
we
seems cool.
Do this? This would be fun.
And they don't. But no, I think they'd want to kind of stay at the level. Vegan just signed the extension and didn't go to Oregon State.
Yeah, he's
somebody prime that I kind of wonder, like, what program does come calling that he has to say yes to?
It's a tough one because
Iowa?
Yeah, when Farron steps away, that would naturally make sense. It's not that. I mean, he's old.
Wisconsin? So if you're Wisconsin, could you do...
The tough part for him would be, are you willing to change your stance? Because now, unless they change the calendar in college football, you either have to be willing to... a school has to hire you and be willing to let you finish your year, which is not the norm.
If Kentucky and Cal can do it, other programs can do it.
Yeah.
You just
see,
have
the only
to say
way I think it works, it's like a Ferentz who's announced he's retiring at the end of the season, but he'll stick around all the way through.
To kind of usher the transition.
And he can be there for the transition. But if you whack a guy and you want somebody in there immediately to get in the transfer portal and recruit.
Well, Kentucky, I mean, they just did this with Will Stein. They said, you can finish the journey. And look, this is not an easy life Will Stein's living. He just took away Nebraska's quarterback.
He did, yeah. The Kenny Minchie. He was the Notre Dame backup. He was the guy that was competing for Carr for the starting job at Notre Dame. And there was a report that came out a couple of days ago that he was locked in and signed with Nebraska. He was going to be the replacement for Dylan Raiola. And then he was going to head to town for a visit, and that was going to happen. And then yesterday, out of the blue, Kenny Minchie signed with Kentucky, and Nebraska fans are now up in arms.
So the guy that's not even there every day, but he's obviously on the phone constantly.
Part of me is getting a little upset watching success on the recruiting trail. I wish he was whiffing, focusing more on the game plan. I don't care about Kenny Minchie and
Lexington. You know, if your team loses, that's going to go through your brain of why you lost, right?
Especially if the offensive game plan sucks and they're getting sacked left and right. Like, dude, maybe focus a little less on Kentucky, Will, you bastard.
But yeah, I think you can live in the world where you allow a coach, if you're going to go that route, to finish out, try to win a national championship and still be okay. I know the calendar sucks. It does. But they might also change it really soon.
They very well could. We could have change on the horizon. I watched that game. It was fun last night. It was I turned it on in like midway through the third quarter. I'm like, that's a close game. And then the chaos kind of ensued at the end. Somebody said they were literally the lowest seeded team in the entire thing.
That's pretty impressive.
Illinois State, and they had to go on the road game. National championship was in Nashville last night.
Dude, that's
night,
brutal then that they lost like that.
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm like glued to it because I'm feeling the heartbreak for them of like, could you imagine you got a game-winning field goal to win the Natty and it gets blocked, goes to overtime, so you're like, all right, at least we're resetting, let's go to OT, and now you just can't kick a PAT anymore?
Well, I also don't, I'm looking at this now, I'm admittedly not a guy that watches a lot of FCS football, so I'm looking at the history of this thing, and going back to 2000, until about 2010, the title game's in Chattanooga, then it moves to Frisco. And now it's in Nashville.
Okay. Bouncing around.
You could do worse places to go watch your team try to win a Natty than Nashville.
It was a good crowd there last night. Not fully sold out. It was at Vanderbilt Stadium, obviously.
Those are diehard fans of those teams.
You're in the national championship.
Yes.
Dude. So it was, it was a fun one to watch. I was just curious thinking that because I've always wondered, especially with like a Montana, and this is no disrespect to Montana State because I know I think they're the better program now. I don't know a lot about their stadium, but every time I see a picture of Montana Stadium, I think to myself, God, that'd be cool if they were in like the new Pac-12. And they'd get beat up on, and it would take a long time. But that'd be a fun road trip to go to Bozeman, to go play a game. There's mountains in the background. I'm kind of in. I'm kind of in on that, John.
It's a very unique state name, by the way.
Montana.
Montana.
What's the Dutton Ranch doing? They got to have some money for NIL, don't they?
I would imagine they would,
They got to have some Do-Re-Mi
out there.
I've
never been to Montana.
I've never either, but I've always wanted to go. I've heard it's beautiful, especially
I'm terrified
summer.
To go.
Then you're going to run into a grizzly bear?
Glacier National Park is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Shortly out of college, went up to a wedding that the first wife was in. And
did you go boom, boom with the bridesmaid?
Huh? What? What is your problem?
I don't have a problem.
I don't know. I
just asked if you went boom, boom with the bridesmaid.
I think you got a problem. There's a problem.
Didn't you just say your wife's friend?
He was married.
I was married to her.
There were no cucumbers included.
Well, she was part of the wedding, right?
She was, part of the wedding.
So you boom, boom with the bridesmaid.
Maybe knowing how it ended, maybe you should have.
So,
anyway,
but part of the thing was the bride's sister was a rafting guide. So the wedding party, we had a raft trip through Glacier National Park, and it was outstanding. That water
help
was
me
damn
here.
Cold. It's July, and it, that water
freezing.
Was cold.
Yeah. Well, it's glacier.
Exactly.
Is it all cabins? Is it
no
tents?
No cucumbers there.
No cucumbers. Well,
little cucumbers.
You get a little warm. There might be some cucumbers.
They call those little dills.
But is it just cabins? Is it tents?
Huh?
I've never been.
No, it's
like all of Montana
we
or the
we
forest?
Been, no, Kalispell and
because my niece might want to go.
No, cabins, gorgeous. Cabins, resorts, and
you give me a cabin, I can
wide
go.
Open country.
I've done the Wyoming trip before. It's beautiful, dude. I could do those every summer. You're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Did you stay in a house?
We did. I think it was a cabin kind of setup when we went.
I'm not staying in grizzly territory.
I think we stayed in a bed and breakfast where like they had
buffalo roaming around. It's badass, dude.
They paid
I'm
for the whole
it.
Thing.
They paid for the whole thing?
Well, they rented out the whole...
That's...
For the wedding party, they rented out the whole bed and breakfast.
Damn, dude. You got some baller friends.
That's and a nice so, little trip
pinkies
right there.
Up, man.
You keep those friends right that's there in the cool. divorce. Did she keep the friends in the divorce, or did
oh,
you...
Oh, that's a good question.
Her, yeah.
Lost that. Damn it. Lost that contract.
Did you guys have any friends that, like, choosing... Like a friend that was like both friends?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. They're usually one side or the other. Mm. They were introduced because of the...
I mean, we went to college, so we have a lot of similar acquaintances.
I don't have a good history with divorce, people. So when I'm asking yeah. you, I'm just genuinely curious because usually my divorce experience is it's absolutely toxic and hatred.
No, if I were to run into them somewhere or happen to be
you
somewhere,
say hi and they'd be cordial.
It would be cordial. I could go and call them, say, hey, I'm in town or whatever, and yeah.
My stepdad showed up at our house and knifed my mom's boyfriend's tires.
Oh, yeah, no, there's none of that going on.
Yeah, it's not a good experience.
No.
This wasn't great.
UPS was a small school.
This is a perfect encapsulation of a Brandon Sprague segment of making you feel as uncomfortable as humanly possible, asking about if you boom booms the bridesmaid, saying you went to a wedding with your wife at the time.
No, I mean, I don't know.
And then a fun personal anecdote.
But his wife now thinks he never hooked up with his last wife. He's a damn child with her.
Good point from somebody saying a different conversation to jump up for JMU, considering they live in a populated part of the country compared to Montana. Mm.
Putting money into research. Also, the school's pretty big. I think it's like 20,000.
I don't think the resource. Remember, we talked to the guy, and he was like, maybe they spend $1 million on the whole, the whole thing.
Not a ton of money, but you're
roster,
also in the
coaches.
You're in the Sun Belt. You don't need a lot of money, you know? Find your way to the playoff.
Fun belt.
Yeah. Let's take in college football a little bit longer. A segment we didn't get to yesterday about where guys are ending up right now on the portal. A couple surprises. One team is cleaning up, another team cleaning up. Neither of them are surprises. We'll talk about what it means for them going forward and where they're at in the sport, and we'll do that coming up next on The Fam. Welcome back in. It is 8:18 on a Tuesday morning. I think my favorite thing I've read so far on the YouTube chat is that Oregon will never sniff a natty before Phil dies, which I would respond, is being in the Final Four not sniffing a natty?
You're two games away and someone's saying that,
they're in
huh?
the Final Four?
Boy, Monday, that could age really poorly.
Literally one of the last four teams in the sport.
You were one rebound away from playing for a national championship.
I mean, I was there. Yeah, I remember that.
Why did you bring that up?
Yeah, thanks for that.
He brought it up.
No, I just chuckled at the idea of literally here. They're literally in the Final Four of college football right now.
Sorry, this is the new Final Four. The other Final Four is
it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. I actually have a segment on that today that I would like to
bring
up.
You going Joe Klatt on me? No one cares. It sucks.
I'll get to it.
Really?
So let's take a quick perusal through what has happened so far in the transfer portal. Stop me if you've heard this before. Texas Tech and Indiana are cleaning up.
Texas Tech, better quarterback, upgraded, $5 million.
Brendan Sorsby, the kid from Cincinnati, committed to Texas Tech.
They're going nowhere.
That is a massive upgrade for them. That was the biggest weakness of their team. Their quarterback wasn't very good, and it was one of the reasons I was confident going into the Oregon-Texas Tech game, despite some of the numbers their offense put up. Big 12 fans, by the way, very upset. Did you see any of the clips of Ducks versus them this week?
I saw that it was out. I didn't watch it.
So Lanning took a steaming dump all over the Big 12 in the pregame.
I mean,
he was like, we're battle-tested. Look where we've played. Look who we've beaten. Look at the way we. And he was like, "Look, where have they been tested all year?" And he puts up
ASU.
This. And Big 12 fans are like, "Oh, there you!" Which is, I think he's just pointing out facts here. But Texas Tech has upgraded a quarterback. That's massive for them because we knew they're already spending a lot of money on their defense, and their defense was the real deal this year.
Mm-hmm.
So Sorsby goes there. And then you go a little bit further down and you start looking at other guys. Josh Hoover, our furry friend from TCU, has landed at Indiana.
Love it.
One of many players that has gone down to Indiana. A lot of the names maybe you don't know. I'll just tell you, they've done a really good job in the transfer portal so far. You got Nick Marsh from Michigan State. Yep. Thank you, Jonathan Smith, for that. So they seem to be, I mean, there's some other news and notes here that I'll get to.
Sure.
But it is interesting to me of, I have brought up the blue chip ratio to win a national championship. And the numbers on that, for those who are curious, every national champion since Auburn in 2010 has been over a 50% blue chip ratio of their roster. 50%. Now, if Oregon would have beaten Auburn in that title, they also would have been under 50%. So no matter who won that 2010 game, you were going to have a sub 50% blue chip roster.
Mm-hmm.
Every title since then has been over 50%. There are two teams remaining in the college football playoff who are below that threshold.
I'm going to guess that is Indiana.
You are correct.
Obviously. And below that threshold, Ole Miss.
And it's Ole Miss. Yeah. So you got a 50-50 shot at that streak ending if Oregon or Miami wins and the streak continues. But the reason I bring it up is that You know, we have spent a lot of time the last couple of years talking about what's the right way to build a roster, and can you build it through the portal? And I know that not every Indiana player is built through the portal, but when you look at their numbers, the vast majority of it is. There's nothing wrong with that. It's clearly working for them. We might now actually have a new roadmap of teams showing that you can do this in the offseason and have it actually translate to compete. Not just like relevance, hey, we won 9 games, look at that, good year. That you can compete at the highest level of
the
sport.
You know, I've been on this for a while with the portal. It's been the benefit of it is like how many more teams look at the playoff. You have a chance. Sans Miami from the early 2000s, 90s, and the late 80s, early 90s, like, it's been 20 plus years for them. You can throw them in this if you want. Like, all four of these schools are looking for their first title, one in forever, the others in general. So that to me is the indicator of the portal. The second thing is not to poo-poo high school recruiting. Obviously, it matters a great deal. It builds depth. You get these pieces paired with portals. Lanning, I think, dabbles in this as well as any other team in college football of balancing the high school recruits' development with instant help you now guys. I don't look at this blue chip ratio thing. It doesn't hit me the way that it used to.
Nor should it anymore because there's teams that are showing you that they have the ability to do it in a different way.
And Oregon could win the national championship this year and it could just be turned right back of like, actually it matters. And I'm not saying it doesn't matter. My whole point is just like,
there's another thing that could matter also too.
I think we have enough of an example here in this era to say that the portal has changed all of the way we view this.
Yeah.
And it should. Like, Indiana may or may not beat Oregon. They may or may not win the national championship, but they're in the Final Four. They got a really good quarterback. I think Hoover's really good. And now he's got great coaching ahead of him.
Not to mention Marshall.
Marshall is a stud who's going to now have a system built on getting him the football, something he didn't have at Michigan State. And I'm just going to assume they're going to fill in all the other pieces that they're missing. Why should I not think Indiana's going to be back here next year? Not maybe in the Final Four, but in the conversation of title contenders.
Yeah.
So for me, you look at Arizona State last year. You look at Indiana the last 2 years. I think you throw Oregon in this. Obviously, Ole Miss is in this. You have a good mix of programs that do really well in recruiting and programs that don't do top 20-ish level, but they have really great coaching, and they know exactly who they identify in the portal to fill in all the gaps.
The only question I have about it long term, I'll give you some numbers on it, by the way, for the Final Four teams. So we'll go over a couple other notes of where guys have gone. And this, I think Indiana's kind of proven this to be a moot point, although they maybe are the outlier here. The only question I have about the portal is the ability to do it year after year after year after year. When you don't have the foundation built of top 5 to top 10 recruiting classes to just kind of backfill your roster.
Sure.
And then you're having to go out and do this and be aggressive. Like, a lot of people are worried, right? Oregon has, I think they've only signed a punter to my knowledge. I'm not following it as closely as I should because I'm more focused on Friday. But I think they've only signed one player, and it's a punter from Nevada.
Nevada's punter.
That's it. So that's all they've gotten. So everybody's like, why isn't Oregon doing more in the portal? And my retort to that would be, well, one, they're a little busy right now, and I'm glad that if they are focusing more on the game, they should be. That's more important than adding a linebacker for the 2026 team. You have a chance to win a national championship this year.
Mm-hmm.
But two is that they have recruited at such a high level that I think they like a lot of their roster, and we're still awaiting a lot of decisions from guys who might be coming back. Do your edge rushers come back next year? Does Dylan Thienemann come back next year, right? Like, there's still a lot of decisions that have to be made for guys for next year's team, and that's maybe putting them in a tough spot. But that's my only question about year in and year out. I think it's a tough putt. But Indiana has proven 2 years ago they portaled their entire team in, or last year, I should say.
Yeah.
And then they lost a huge chunk of those guys, and what do? They brought a bunch of new guys in, including a new quarterback, and here they are, right? They're right into the Final Four. The numbers, by the way, on the Final Four teams I'll give you, of the starters, 68% of the starters at Ole Miss, transfer portal guys. That's number one in the Final Four. Indiana, 64% of their starters. Now, this isn't just guys who play, so it's 22 starters, so it's a little bit deeper than that. 64% of the starters at Indiana, 14 of the 22 are transfers. Miami is 12 of 22, that's 55%. And Oregon is 10 of 22, that's 45%. So 45% for Oregon is the low watermark for starters that are transfers. That tells you how important it is.
So Indiana right now for 26, just in high school recruiting, they're ranked 34th. They're barely, they're basically tied with Vanderbilt.
Yeah, and they have money to spend, so maybe that changes as year go. As
they have 7 4 stars committed.
Yeah.
Now this is the element I think of recruiting that kind of flies under the radar. Now, again, to the whole notion of where you have to be to win a title traditionally in that sport for high school recruiting, they have 15 threes. So this is a combo, obviously, of win now, ready to play players right in the portal, mm-hmm. mixed with don't we look at them as a pretty solid coaching staff? So maybe those 15 three-stars yeah. become four-stars and ultimately become impacts. I'll have to go try to find, I don't know if you have it, how many? You see 64% of their starters
Indiana,
are portals?
14 of their 22 starters are transfer portal guys.
Okay, so that's a lot of players coming in that's picking up the system and helping you get to this point. You're still talking about eight more players that are from them, and they're still Indiana, right? They're yes. still building on this reputation and this new wave.
It's only year two. Good. It's going right. to take time.
So maybe this is something that next year they jump from 34 ultimately to top 25. And then the year, you know what I mean? It's a slow build in the high school world.
Yeah.
But also, I think a lot of coaches like him, this is great, man. This is free agency.
It's huge.
You want that five-star? Cool, go get him. He's not going to work there, and then I'll scoop him up in the portal, and now we have a five-star kid.
I love it for the sport because it shows you, it feels like, and maybe teams will prove this wrong as years go on, and maybe Indiana's one of them. There's just a certain caliber of program you have to be historically to recruit at a top 10 level. Like, you very rarely get...
It's hard.
...an out of nowhere, like, yeah. hey, they're in the top 10?
Remember Ole Miss when they had the number one class, and we're like, what? Mm. You freeze?
And then we all do the same thing. They must have paid for everybody, right? Yes. Like, when there's a new kid on the block. I love the idea that there are other ways to build your roster and there are other ways to compete. And it's been this thing in the sport that we've been wondering the last couple of years of like, what does it turn into and how important is it and what's the percentage and how do you want to break it all down? I find it interesting. In Indiana, in Texas Tech, I mentioned this with Texas Tech when Oregon beat them.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, there's a piece, I think, on USA Today of like, the Big 12 is fraudulent. The Big 12 shouldn't be included. It's like, well, can we just shut up and stop doing this after a team loses a game? Texas Tech had a great year. This is also their first year trying this and spending big money. And they won the conference, and they had an elite defense. They yeah. just didn't have a very good offense, and yep. that was the downfall, ultimately, of their season. Now they've gone and addressed that. So this idea the Big 12 can't compete, Texas Tech can compete. If they keep doing this, they can compete, and I think that's great for college football.
Guess who's third in the portal rankings?
Ooh, I don't know. I guess Indiana and Texas Tech are
Indiana.
The top two.
Penn State's one.
Oh, Penn State, okay.
Oklahoma State is two.
Yeah, Oklahoma State got the Mestermaker kid.
Mestermaker kid, yeah.
And Penn State got Rocco Becht, who was the Iowa, I mean, he followed his
right.
coach.
Indiana's three, Ole Miss is four.
Yeah.
So I don't, maybe this exists. I don't check it enough. You'd be better served to tell me. We need to find a way to combine these two rankings and then shake out top whatever rankings yeah. in college football. Like, take whatever your portal is, average it out with your high school, and then let's do the re-ranking. Like, where would Indiana fall if you right. had a portal with yeah. high school combos?
Well, and also the film evaluation of who the players are, because I think a lot of their guys came from JMU, so you're playing at a lower level.
Yeah.
So you, then those you move
two,
up.
Those are two, three-star kids at best.
It's hard to quantify that talent yes. composite of the roster yeah. because it's just so unique. You don't see it.
Dude, we'll ask Bill Connolly tomorrow.
That's a good thing to bring up. I think the other part of this is like, it's also about the positions in which you portal, right? Like, you'd probably prefer, I know Oregon would, because you can look at Oregon and say, well, Bear Alexander, what a great addition in the portal. This was his last, you know, chance at a life raft in college football. It's not worked out. It's worked really well. Paired with Yemateo, who you recruited.
Tatum Tuioti, you recruited.
Tatum Tuioti.
Amari Washington, you recruited.
Yes, you have these combinations. Now, the most important positions... If Dante goes to the NFL...
You need a quarterback.
We think they're going to keep anybody in-house and be the starter next year? I don't. I think they're going to hit the portal.
Yeah.
And that's the difficult thing is, whether it's a Raiola, a Lagway, a Levitt, there are certain guys that haven't committed to anything. Levitt doesn't want to be contacted.
No.
What that tells me, just from an observing standpoint, is I think that a few of those guys know if that guy leaves...
They're waiting to see what the decision is.
Their phone's going to get called by Dan Lanning yeah. and company. So... Yeah. It's important to get those high school recruits. You want your depth to be what it is at Oregon. But also, if your most important positions are constantly portal guys, what does that tell us?
Yeah.
How often are we getting the kids that are true five stars and they stay from day one all the way to the end of their college career? It's a rarity in the sport. It's
no doubt.
The best teams, look at what's happening in the Final Four right now. Moore, transfer. Mendoza, transfer. Beck transfer. Chambliss, backup from Division II,
transfer.
So yeah. I just think it's about what positions you're getting portals in versus building your overall depth and how important high school can be.
Look, it sucks when big fish eat littler fish, and it feels like that's the way the sport works sometimes. I also think it's great because it gives kids an opportunity to play. Go look at the interview yesterday from Hemby, the Indiana running back, and he was asked, what would you tell yourself when you made, because he's a Maryland kid,
yeah.
went to Maryland, transferred from Maryland, and he was like, man, I bawled my eyes out when I made that decision. It was the hardest call I've ever had to make in my life. It was emotional. I didn't want to leave Maryland. They recruited me. They love me. And he said, I wish I could go back and tell myself not to cry because this is the best decision I've ever made. And now I'm playing in the semifinals and maybe winning a national championship. It's been great for him in his career. Well, it can be a good thing for these players.
And now Hoover. I don't know who fought over Hoover. Who else
offered.
But when Kurt Cignetti calls your phone now with a Heisman Trophy winner at your position, you're...
Google me. I win, bitch. Like, yeah,
you don't even have to talk. Yeah, I'm in. Sure. Give me the check. We're good.
Yes. Is it over before it started? We'll get to that next. All right, welcome back in. Don't forget, we got the mail sack coming up. Final hour. Get your questions in. The fan text line is 503-864-6326. You can also send them.
Mail sack.
Mail. Send them on the YouTube chat as well if you want.
You
want
to add one of yours? Me and Swag have one.
I like doing mine live.
Mail sack.
Do it different every time.
Yeah.
Mail sack. I have a question for the listeners in the mail sack.
Oh, you have a listener question.
I need to know what to do with that thing, that bag of stuff in my
Swag's
my
got a bit of a conundrum on his hands. I have a great idea, but he's not willing to do my idea. But I
because you know. Require doing it.
Well, some people
would you rather do that or the weed?
Some people say doing it's fun.
Doing it and doing it and doing it well.
You on that would be. I'd need a live stream.
I just want to be there. I just want to be there and watch.
I need a live stream. I need to help you.
One of the ideas that we have bantied about
you.
For years on this show that has never been executed, which we're famous for, right? Like, let's pay off our spring in the line bets. That never happened. So we're good at that. Is Swag getting high and watching a hockey game?
Hockey of all the sports?
I think hockey of all sports would be the best sport for Swag to watch because he's already a hockey fan.
That's true.
It would take your senses to a new level.
Oh, it really would.
Like, it can't be just like a run-of-the-mill Kraken game 70 of the regular season.
Sure.
I'm talking, we get together at the Swag condo on a Saturday night, and it's like game 5 of the Western Conference Finals.
Oh, there you go.
And you're locked in and glued in, high as a kite.
I don't know if we want him in a Western Conference Finals. I want him to enjoy it, not be paranoid the whole time.
We'll be there. We'll hold your hand. It'll be okay.
The amount of food and binge eating he would do watching that thing.
Fat Swag would come out.
And he wouldn't even know what he was eating. He'd be eating a rib and be like,
Swag, that was an entire plate of nachos, dude. Calm down, man. Calm down. Can I ask a question? I want to get to a local shout out.
Shut up.
Well, I'm going to ask it anyways, bitch. Is it over before it started?
Mm-hmm. I definitely think it is.
Is anybody going to be invested in college basketball locally? When football season wraps up.
Well, my team's done.
You guys are cooked.
Team.
We just lost to Rutgers. We even had a Linsanity game, and we can't even beat Rutgers. We're 500.
Shelstad's hurt.
1-3 in the Big
Ten.
You
get into both the Oregon State and Oregon's women's teams are off to very good starts.
Okay, so we got
Oregon State
for us.
I thought they were a bit of a similar vibe. A little better
in
than
conference
men,
play. They're undefeated in conference
okay,
play.
Okay, good to know.
I mean, look,
the only undefeated team left in the West Coast Conference
there
after
you go.
2 weeks.
The NBA season doesn't begin until Christmas Day. I would say college basketball starts the day that football's over. Like, that's when I'll start to I'll watch actively and see what's going on.
I think for most of our college NFL Duck fan, NFL fans, like, basketball still hasn't started.
It hasn't. No. And my question is, when football's done, are you going to watch?
I mean, I don't know, man. I can't. I'm probably the most out of touch with sports fans
in
this question.
I'm in it, so I'm
you
not
live
a good,
in it.
I'm in it.
You're living in it. But
yeah. Let me ask you this,
watching.
Swag. I'm not talking like pilots and just following the sport.
No, I know.
There's zero hope left for Oregon State, right?
Yeah.
Oh, men's
we can
basketball?
All agree there for men's That's, basketball?
Yeah, they're cooked.
There's none.
They're so bad.
Now, yeah. Oregon has the seasons where they start really slow, and then you look up and you're like, hey, all right, now they're playing better, and Altman's systems are unique, and there's new players. Like,
they've got some work cut out for them. I mean, Shelstad's been out the last couple of games with a hand injury.
It doesn't
they're not
help.
Very deep.
Are they in the combo of most disappointing in the sport, given the amount of players that returned?
They returned their two best players.
Yeah.
Three.
Three best players.
Do me this favor, okay? Now, you're in it. You're not.
No.
I still want to play a fun game. This goes to your question. Is it over before it started? Can you tell me the top 10 teams in men's college basketball right now today?
The only one that I know for certain, and this is stupid that I know this, is Nebraska.
What are they ranked?
Probably back end of the top 10. Number 10?
Number
10. They're undefeated.
Yeah.
They won again last night.
Can you name any other program in that? You probably can.
UConn?
UConn is in this.
Okay. Yeah. Michigan State?
Nope.
No.
Purdue? Purdue's been good. Okay, Purdue's in there.
Yep, Matt Painter.
Purdue's in there, but they've had some head scratching losses as they usually do. Who's
they're
the
13
number one,
and one
team in the country.
Purdue's 13-1. They don't have head scratching losses. They have one loss.
Number one team in the country. Is it an SEC team? I feel like they're good at hoops.
No.
Now.
No. It's a former Pac-12 team.
Arizona?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
By the way, you just glossed over what he just said.
Losses, only one loss.
They have one loss. He said they have some head-scratching losses.
Who did they lose to? Who was there? Was it a bad loss that they got?
I'm going to guess a Big Ten team.
Okay. Your Lady Bees, by the way, are undefeated in WCC play, yeah. So you got that going for
Michigan you. Michigan and Dusty May are ranked second.
They should be ranked number one. They are housing teams.
Well, they're both undefeated, Arizona and Michigan.
Shouldn't Nebraska be number one? That's a Big Ten undefeated Nebraska to you.
They haven't quite played the slate of...
Just beat Michigan State the other night?
The Fighting Sukanic Debances are ninth. Few is just kind of flying right here at eight. They're 16-1.
Yeah.
Houston, Duke, Iowa State. You don't even have to watch the sport. We could have guessed seven of the ten and just been like,
Otzenberger's crew. Other than Nebraska. Out there names.
I mean, it's just funny because I say this about baseball of like, can you get me to the start of football season? If my baseball team can do that, I'm happy. Like, get me to August where I'm actually caring and wanting to watch the games. If you could do that, I'm happy as a fan. I'm a very front-running non-football fan. You need to capture my attention in order for me to watch you night in and night out. And I'm not watching every Oregon game for obvious reasons, and then I'm gluing into final scores, and I'm like, I don't know if you got me. Now, maybe they're surprised. Dan Altman can do that from time to time. He has done that from time to time.
They certainly have the...
It's not a fun
one. The one and done is ruined the sport for me.
Killed it.
I mean, obviously, it's a lot more daunting basketball-wise in the Big Ten than it was in the Pac-12.
Who's the one... do you see what Rothstein tweeted last night? He said none of the West Coast Big Ten teams will ever win a Big Ten regular season title.
Well, the travel at that point will kill you. I mean, they showed the travel like the Ducks in the last... 2.5 weeks, or including next week, because they come home for an Ohio State game, then they go to Nebraska. They're going to travel like 10,000 miles in 2 weeks.
This is what we signed up for, man. No complaints here.
You made that decision for football.
We buried
everybody else just has to deal with the consequences
Sorry,
of it.
Hoops. Got a lot of
football comes first.
A lot of frequent flyer miles, man. And that's the way it goes for the fan base.
What's Washington done since they lost to Seattle?
Yeah, didn't they? I thought, what's their guy? Sprinkle? Wasn't Sprinkle Danny supposed
Sprinkle?
To have a big year?
Remember, we supposed to have a Sprinkle Tinkle?
Yeah, what happened to the Sprinkle Man?
Let's see. Right now, Washington
I don't know that they're doing much.
Currently, there's too many conferences in the sport. I have to scroll way too much.
So many.
Washington is, they're 9-5.
Okay. All right.
They're ahead of your team in the standings.
Uh-oh. That's not good. That won't last. We're not worried about Sprinkle Man. He can't get us.
Dude, they lost to Seattle, and then they clobbered San Diego. Beat Utah and lost by 10 in Indiana.
Yeah, so that's where we're at
right now. How bad is Seattle U going to beat the Beavs on Thursday?
Is it in Corvallis?
Yeah.
Have we reached the end of his contract yet? Like, is
no.
this finally? He's got more.
It was like an eight-year deal.
8 years when he did the extension.
I think if they bought him out after this, they'd still have like 3 to 4 years.
Oh my God!
Seattle had Gonzaga on the ropes in Spokane.
That's so depressing.
And let it get away in overtime.
I've been told behind the scenes, like, look, what's hard for me is sometimes you do this job and people get wind of like your opinion on something. And I've just called out like it's been terrible.
Yeah. He's a genuinely good dude. He's been great
nice
to us.
Guy. He doesn't like us anymore because some of the takes have gotten down to Corvallis. Yeah. I understand.
He's an excellent basketball coach. Like X's and O's and understanding what they're trying to do. But...
I've gotten wind that some of that is not just coaching, that like. The amount and the NIL, it doesn't exist.
I mean, no, he doesn't have what it takes.
That's why
to
he's going compete. European and Australian. Yeah. And
because they don't cost as much in NIL dollars.
No, they're way cheaper, which Kelly Graves said this. I know this is a random poll, but I was listening to one of the insider shows when I was on vacation, and Kelly Graves was on.
Look at you glued into Ducks.
I was driving to the store.
You duck honk over there.
And he basically was like, I have a best friend who works in Germany at one of the academies, and their whole program... for the ladies program has just transformed.
Well, he's got a bunch of German gals on our team.
Dude, they're way
year.
Cheaper to get these European players.
Well, the NIL rules are different for international students. The rules are actually different for international
that
students.
That make any sense?
It doesn't make sense.
None of
all of this is stupid. It's all made up.
Which is why the West Coast Conference has the highest percentage of international students on the basketball rosters.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
Like
I get it. You got to find an angle.
40% for men and 45% for women.
Yeah, I'm curious where fans are at. Like, if you're a Beaver fan, I'd imagine you're done. If you're a Duck fan, I'd imagine you're on some pretty thin ice
Beaver
right now.
Beaver fans have been out on that team for 3 years.
Right, and Oregon's got a semifinal game on Friday night. Like, basketball is so out of sight, out of mind. By the time I peek my heads up from the clouds. Are they going to be irrelevant? They're not going anywhere. They're not winning.
Are you happy if they get to the second round of the tournament and lose?
I mean, you like being in the tournament because it's fun to see your team in the bracket.
Yeah, I give you that.
That should be like the base level of like, can we should at least get there? Hell, 19 teams from the Big Ten get in every year. How can we not be one of those teams?
But are you really impacted when they lose in the second round?
Not in any way. Who did they lose to last year?
Right.
Exactly. Let's get to a local shout out of somebody who did something cool, man. And I, to be honest with you, kind of forgot about him. We'll get to that next on The Fam. All right, not a lot of time here. We'll dive into a couple of NFL nuggies coming up top of the hour. Some more peekaboo of Wild Card Weekend. Mm-hmm. And then don't forget Statter Story, Mail Sack coming up at 9:15.
We haven't done Statter Story or Mail Sack in a while.
It's been a while. Got to relearn to ride that bike, you know, pedal. So we'll get to the Mail Sack coming up here in about 20-ish minutes. 503-864-6326. There was somebody in town last night. That this is NBA dirt learning things in real time. Oh, that's where he is.
Nurkic.
No, it was not Nurkic. It was somebody else.
In town. Was it in the NBA?
It was in the NBA.
Money in town.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Kevin Love?
Yes.
Oh, the Jazz.
Did you see what he wore to the game?
The Laco jacket.
He wore his Laco Letterman's jacket.
Yeah, I actually saw a video. He popped up in my algorithm on Instagram of doing a podcast and talking about the mental side of being a pro athlete.
Mm-hmm. He's big into the mental apps and the headspace. And
it wasn't so much like mental health is good. It was more like what it takes to be a pro athlete mentally. And he goes, we all have to be a level of psychotic that's hard to explain to people. And he goes, I grew up in Lake Oswego, a very nice suburb of Portland. And he goes, my dad was crazy. And he's famously talked about and his dad just passed, how him and his dad did not get along all the time, but his dad pushed him. And he said, my dad was crazy. And my dad knew that you had to be crazy to make it to that level. You couldn't just be good. And I don't know how true this, but he's like, he used to drive me to Killingsworth in Portland and drop me off on Thursday and say, I'll see you Sunday. I don't know how true that is.
You're just leaving him out there for 4 days with no place to stay? Like, I could see for the day, like, hey, I'll pick you up after dinner.
Yeah, but yeah, anyways, that video popped up. But yeah, I saw the Laco jacket. I thought that was really cool. And I saw him the last time they played at Utah.
Yeah.
He's at the end of the bench. He's just a journeyman guy.
Just hanging out. Yeah. He's, you know, played in 20 games this year. Not a big deal, but he's still in the NBA. He's 37 years old now. He's had a great NBA career. The jacket thing I thought was really cool to, like, have a, you know, connection back. And he's been a guy who, For early on in his career, he's very vilified locally because he goes to UCLA, spurns the two local schools. Like, I just, that was kind of weird. And nobody, you look back on it, you're like, who wouldn't make
that
decision?
Was it weird? Because he was kind of a family LA guy.
I just think whenever you have a local guy who leaves and goes to a bigger city, I don't know.
Salim Stoudemire?
Yeah, maybe we should. Maybe Ndamukong Suh should be public enemy number one. Why'd you go to Nebraska, dude? But it was funny because I actually saw that interview that he did and I was reminiscing about. When I grew up on a relatively good for our age basketball team. Now I sucked. I was a back end of the bench guy. I never played, but a bunch of my buddies were really into it. And I had one of the friend's dads was like a very serious, like Jerrell Starch kind of coach.
Oh,
and it turned
guys.
Me off the hoops. I quit after middle school because I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore.
No
this is
way.
Stupid. But we were a really good team and we would blow everybody out that we play until we would play a team from Northeast Portland that was 13 black kids and Kevin Love.
Yes.
And I saw that interview of him getting dropped off
at Killingsworth.
And that's exactly the light bulb that went off of like, yeah, dude, that was the Northeast Portland Boys and Girls Club team. And we couldn't hold a candle to him. They'd blow us out every time
we played
them.
I think his dad was pretty honest. You need to play with black people.
Yes, get out of Lake Oswego.
Get out of here. Go play with some really talented players.
Too many sweater vests going on in here. Yeah, this isn't going to get you to the NBA. You know what's going to get you to the NBA? Northeast Portland. And he was right. I don't know. A guy who is.
Has he had the best pro career of a local cat? Would you guys say that?
He's been in the NBA for 18 years.
Yeah. Now, he's won a championship. He's a multi-all-star. Has he made all-NBA? Do you have his basketball reference?
I have his basketball reference up.
Has he ever made all-NBA?
It does not look like he's made all-NBA.
Did TV?
No, correct me. Two times.
Two-time all-NBA?
In Minnesota
all-star?
In 2012, second team. Yep. And his first year, or is that last year in Minnesota, it looks like hard to track on those numbers. It looks like second team all-NBA twice.
Okay. All-star, NBA champion.
Most improved player award he won.
Terrell Brandon, two-time all-star, all-rookie team and sportsman of the year.
One.
I think Kevin Love does he have the best career?
I think he does.
Blanking on somebody?
Is there anybody we're forgetting?
Not in
You have to go back to the Wayback Machine for us, Swigard.
Yeah, because he's had a better career than Damon.
Yeah.
And Damon was good.
Yeah, Damon had a good career, but
we never talked about the Damon stuff. Do you see them when they honored that team and he said they don't feel connected to the city?
I mean, yeah, but like
that led to a little media fight between Casey Hallddall and Bill Oram. Do you see that?
I missed that.
Yeah, a little back and forth.
Yeah, did we really?
We did.
On Twitter?
I mean, fight's too strong of a word.
Can you sum it up for me?
It was essentially Bill Oram. Jody Allen was not there to... Exactly.
To say thank you.
And Bill Oram said, you know, maybe this is one of the reasons that former players don't feel connected is because we don't have a connected owner. And then, you know, it just kind of turned into a back and forth from there.
Oh, Casey was basically like...
saying, I don't think that's the big reason. I think maybe, you know, some of the stuff on the floor and players have to be willing.
Casey is day-to-day around it a little more than Bill. But what I would say in response to Casey defending it, I guess, a little bit, and I'm just taking what you're saying here, and I'm not trying to call anybody out, there is an element of, like, Drexler's literally said out loud why he's
when
not.
They're gone, I'll be back.
It doesn't make it like 100% true for every former player, but we've had some former players.
That was
players.
A really bad look to have a sitting owner who I know she's selling the team. You're recognizing a team. It's a big reunion night. And
was Bert there?
I don't know. I didn't watch it. We were on break, so I didn't watch the game. I think we were going on vacation. I just saw the interviews that they did and the snippets that were on social media. That's all I saw.
Yeah, so. Also, like, you could still come back to the city and be a part of the city and do stuff.
Yeah. I just shout out to Kevin Love, man. Great career. I saw the yellow jacket last night. Yep. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
One of those guys I forget. I was like, oh, that's right. He's still in the NBA. Still hanging on. So good for him. Lots to get to in the final hour. Dive into a couple of NFL nuggies. Mail sack coming up 9:15. Get your questions in 503-864-6326. Final hour next on The Fan.